This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, hour number two, Tiki and Tierney coming alive from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently on this Monday first hour. Got a little curveball, which is always fine. The Dallas trade, and we'll give you a chance to react to that. Certainly the tweets are coming in. We see you on the phones, too. We got to do a couple things before we get calls, but we will. 855-212-4227. Giants and the Falcons tonight. The World Series begins Tuesday. You know, I'm not so sure. I'm not convinced that the best team is representing the American League, nor am I convinced that the best team is necessarily repping the National League.
Are you serious?
I think the Astros might be a tick better. You can make that case. Listen, you know how I feel they got hosed on that home run, so that's a big part of it as well.
But they won 108 games,
I understand that.
David Price getting right in the postseason. They were the best team.
Hey, listen, the Dodgers, a great series, seven games, even with the nonsense with Machado and all the things that you and I debated last week. Listen,
yeah, but that's his boy, so I mean, whatever.
I know, but Boston, L.A. is going to be special.
It's what
the networks wanted, which is why they said, Altuve, you're out, instead of giving the old finger wag at the sky, home run. But we'll do a little baseball as we get a little deeper. Well, tomorrow we'll certainly do some baseball, but congrats to Boston, and congrats to the Dodgers. Dodgers haven't been there since 88, been a long time. Oral Hershiser.
No, they were there last year.
I mean, they haven't won it since 88. That's what I meant, they haven't won it since Oral Hershiser, which is amazing how long that went. I mean, the span...
That's 30
from
years,
from 88.
30 years.
With Gibson jogging around the bases when he takes Eck deep. And all that, you see the red stoplights on the cars because everybody had bounced out of Dodger Stadium. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, something happened. We got to get back at the stadium. Can't come back in. That was an iconic moment. So this is going to be good for baseball.
I think so.
It really is.
I think you're right.
Looking forward to it.
I mean, if you really think about it, they were Yu Darvish tipping his pitches away game seven last year. From being champion, I mean, who knows what would have happened if you don't? Because after Darvish, what was he? One and two thirds, I think he pitched Darvish last year. He didn't get out of the second inning. They shut him out.
Oh, that's it.
They didn't score another run. The Astros, as good as they were last year, they didn't score another run after Yu Darvish went out of the game.
Dodgers need to win one. They need Red Sox. Not that the Red Sox don't want to win, but of course they do.
5 years ago.
Dodgers need to win. A little pressure here on the Dodgers. As I said, haven't won since 88, though they have been there since. All right, so listen, you saw what happened over the weekend with the hoops. Saturday night was crazy. We don't need to waste time on frame by frame because you all saw it by now. Although, when I woke up Sunday at around 5 or so to get ready for Tops, to be fair, my first instinct was different than what my eventual conclusion became when I saw Rachel Nichols' tweet of the frame-by-frame when he spit in his face, which he so clearly did. So I don't know that we need to waste time on necessarily the frame-by-frame logistics. My biggest takeaway is this, all right? And I'm not sure which direction Teak is going to go, but the first direction that I'm going to go is the NBA should be embarrassed as to how they address this in terms of a policing or a lack thereof. It was a woeful, woeful job by Kiki Vandeweghe, who runs this stuff. You know, Adam Silver's the commissioner, but Kiki's going to hand out the suspensions. For Brandon Ingram, and I understand what happened with the foul, when he turned around and then he pushed James Harden, and all that aside, when you run into a scrum and you throw I know he's skinny. He's got a lot of velocity and a lot of range and a lot of elasticity.
Those skinny guys have longer arms, man.
Oh, I know.
Those things hurt more.
Oh, I know. I mean, he cocked it back and he was running. That's how you hurt somebody.
Yep.
That's how you Rudy Tomjanovic somebody, quite frankly. For him to get four games is as mystifying a solution to anything, and I put quotes around the word solution, that's happened in the NBA in the last 20 years. I am beyond words, although I threw out a few because I have to, it's my job, how bad a job Kiki Vandeweghe, who I like,
I do too,
did with this.
Yeah.
Horrific.
It should have been 2 weeks. Should have been something significant.
Minimum 10 to 15 games, you start there.
It should have been something that makes him, even Brandon Ingram, after the fact, is talking about how, you know, this doesn't feel like it's. He's kind of relieved.
We got this post practice today.
Listen to Brandon Ingram okay. talking about a 4-game suspension.
Well, it was better than we expected. I'm happy it's only 4, but I know I gotta control my emotions a little bit better. Apologies to my teammates for that game. I know it could have came out better, but in any situation like that, I gotta protect my teammates.
Happy it's only 4. You better be ecstatic. Mm-hmm. It's only 4.
Could have really hurt him.
He could have absolutely hurt him.
He could have really
because he came from a long way.
Him.
And if he hadn't gotten clipped off at the last second, like somebody bodied him right when he was.
Like a Patriots pick, you mean, on those little shallow crossing
exactly.
routes? The illegal ones that they always get away with?
Yeah, exactly. If someone hadn't clipped him off at the last second and he had connected, I mean, somebody might have been unconscious.
That's why I used the term he could have been Rudy Tomjanovich. I mean, that back in the day with the fight with Kermit Washington. Listen, you listen to the show. I'm a product of certainly the mid-80s, but the 90s NBA. I mean, that's my wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. In terms of sentiment, I'll always, you know, my mind always wanders there first. So I love aggression in the NBA. Yeah. I do.
This isn't necessarily a bad thing. It is, but it is can be.
That's kind of where I'm going.
I hear you.
I got no problem seeing this every once in a while. And I listen, my little guy's 3.5. I get it. You don't want to say this too frequently or too loudly because it can be construed as irresponsible. But I'm just saying, for my viewing pleasure, I don't mind seeing this once in a while when pro athletes start throwing punches on each other.
I didn't get
you know
it.
Why? Can I just tell you why real fast? Because it proves that they're competing and that there's not this, hey, it doesn't matter if we win or lose. Like, that has been absent the last, every year it gets further and further and further removed from the core of competition. You see NFL teams tweeting at each other with smiley face emojis and tears coming down their faces. The hell is this? I mean, I need something like that once in a while to keep me centered.
It's collectivism. That's what it is. They realize that they're all in it together.
Yes, yeah, true.
You may beat our ass, right?
We're all getting paid.
We're all getting paid.
Even though I know that, I don't want to see that all the time.
I agree with you.
You know?
Because it's not, you know what? They're not hiring fans. They aren't fans that are working in social media departments. This is just an aside from the one you took us on.
Yeah.
They're not fans in that social media department. Like, if it was you or even me, and I had free reign to, I don't know, emoji whatever I wanted via the social media pages, and we're playing the Eagles, I mean, it's going to get, like, aggressive.
Oh, yeah.
Not, like, playful.
I know. Not, like, cute, like 9-year-olds. And, like, I mean, like, when you first get your first phone.
Exactly.
It's corny.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just corny.
I agree.
A lot of this interaction between these franchises, it's pathetic.
You're right.
I can't even follow. Listen, I'm going to actually have to probably stop
this. I don't follow teams anymore.
I don't follow. How many people do I actually follow?
Remember I purged. Remember
yes.
you had, I don't know how many followers you had. I'm like, man, I have like eight times as many I'm following eight times as many people as you are.
Yeah.
BT was like, that's because you follow everybody that you talk to. And I was like, you're right. And so I purged. I got rid of all the teams because they don't say anything that I can't get anywhere else. And so I don't see those things that you're talking about.
I'm following 102 people. And it's not because I'm trying to be, you know, like Jay Billis follows one person. Right. I think a cancer.
It's a cause.
Pediatric cancer.
I can't remember exactly, something great, actually, for sure.
And I'm not trying to be, I can't follow him too. No. I just don't want to be inundated with nonsense. And I'm sitting there on tops during commercial breaks, like really trying to do work on Sunday mornings here on CBS Sports Network. And I'm rifling through my Twitter account that all I'm seeing is this guy walk with his suit, Cam's hat. I don't care. You know, look good, feel good, play good. Stop. I got to unfollow all these teams. But the point is that Saturday night was a little reminder that there's still a little tenacity in pro sport.
Were you surprised, though, that these two teams, given the relationship of LeBron, because LeBron's he's the man.
Yeah, I mean, that's not exactly breaking news. He's the man. Yeah.
He's got a good relationship with Carmelo.
Yep.
Carmelo wasn't on the court here.
Yes, he was. Well, he came. He was on the court.
Well, you know what I mean.
He wasn't
involved in the
altercation. He was peacemaking.
Of course.
No, he was smart. You don't want everybody.
He's not a fighter.
I was at the Garden when he actually... When he threw down as a Denver Nugget...
I got
to show you. I know you were playing for the Giants. I was doing the pregame and postgame this year. This was one of the most... I was actually scared at the Garden. Denver Nuggets, Jared Jeffries, Nate Robinson. It was...
With Carmelo?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I got to see this.
Oh, and J.R. Smith,
he's chill, man.
Carmelo threw a vicious punch.
Well, he's not that guy anymore.
But keep going.
Yeah, anyway. So
I got to show you this on YouTube,
LeBron
though. Crazy.
Is the man. And given the relationship with Carmelo and CP3, I don't know what kind of relationship he has with James Harden. I don't know if James – who cares?
Probably mutual respect. I don't think there's any beef, but I don't know.
You would think that they would comport themselves that way because LeBron's the one that leads this. So where did this aggression come from Brandon Ingram?
I can't answer that. That's – you know, I'll tell you where it came from. And this isn't necessarily a bad thing if the young man can harness it. Mm-hmm. That's just who Brandon Ingram is. And you know what? Again, at the risk of sounding a little cavalier, I'm okay with that. Like, if I'm a Laker fan, I'm sitting there saying, like, you know, I'm a Knicks fan. Kevin Knox, who hurt his ankle the other night. Like, you know, God forbid the Knicks have a, not even God forbid, but if the Knicks have, like, a big brawl, like, in the next 2 weeks when he's going to probably miss 2 weeks, or if it happened over the weekend before he got hurt. And Kevin Knox's first instinct was to do what Ingram did. I would chastise him for throwing a dangerous haymaker, and I would take the same approach that I've taken with Ingram, but I'd say, you know what? That guy's a gamer.
Yeah.
And when I refine that a little bit, I know when we go on the road to play the Rockets or the Warriors, that cat's not going to be scared.
Do you worry?
I want that.
Do you worry that LeBron kind of came to the defense of a Rockets friend as opposed to his teammate?
Well, here, this is the problem. This is the secondary issue, okay? That I believe could, I'm going to stop short of using the word will, but could very possibly permeate the culture and the synergy of the Lakers, and this could destroy their season. Mm. Not that their season is going to, you know, I don't think a ton of them is. We've talked about this. I think there are 43, 44 wins, if they're lucky, because they can't shoot. But, you know, LeBron and Rondo are supposed to be mentally on the same page because they're both brilliant.
That's what made the acquisition of Rondo makes sense.
They're both basketball geniuses. They see things that others don't. And for some reason, I guess if you think this way, you just don't know basketball because you don't watch it. Mm-hmm. But, like, Rondo has always been this savant when it comes to two or three steps ahead.
You're right.
He's brilliant.
He's a knucklehead, but yes.
Yeah, a little bit, but he's tough. I don't even know. Is he a knucklehead? He's tough. I don't know if I would use the word knucklehead. I think he's a little irrational, a little ornery.
Irrational, same
on
thing.
On occasion.
Yeah,
whatever. But I look at this relationship now between Rondo and LeBron James, and Rondo's got to play Chris Paul three more times. That's if they don't meet in the playoffs, which, please, basketball gods, let that happen, right? And now all of a sudden, that beef's not going away. When you spit in somebody's face, there is no going up to somebody and saying, my bad, I lost my cool. That's it.
Yeah.
They are enemies for life.
But they've already they've been that way.
Yeah,
though,
but this is irreparable. This is subhuman. You spit in somebody's face.
What does it come from, D-Cell? Do you know?
I don't know.
What does it come from way back?
It was the Olympic team. It was some stuff with the Olympic team. It's almost irrelevant.
Yeah.
I know it's D-Cell. Tell him. Good.
You want to tell him?
It stems from Team USA.
Yeah. No, I know. The point is, though, with LeBron and Rondo, if there's a moment, and I don't mean like a full brawl, but something where there's tension, and LeBron doesn't immediately gravitate to Rondo to get his back.
Yeah.
Not where he's going to throw a punch on Chris, but I don't mean that at all. But rather than grab Chris Paul or... I believe LeBron's got a responsibility to Rondo before he does Chris Paul in that situation, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I honestly believe. That's your teammate.
But I almost, like, this never happens with LeBron teams. Like, you never see fights. It just doesn't
Not
happen.
Not very often. No, because I think he's so respected. And
I agree.
He's so respected. He's a clean competitor.
Exactly. He doesn't get that high emotionally.
He's not dirty.
He's not dirty. He's never going to undercut somebody. He's never going to do any of that stuff.
No.
And so you never see this type of
emotion.
Emotion. Irrational or non-productive emotion. You see emotion, but not like this. You don't see anger, right? You don't see emotion expressed as anger, which is what we saw with Brandon Ingram. And so the question I keep coming to is, well, who's controlling this team, right? Are they taking on, whose personality are they taking on? Mm-hmm. Is it LeBron's or is it Rondo's? Or is it just a young kid running amok? Like, what's happening with this Lakers team?
See, it's
in
interesting
the early
that
part?
You think that because that's and it's a good thought. That's bigger picture. You know what? I got an answer for you. I want to save it. And I also want to give people a chance to get in on this because I am very curious how this is viewed from all the pockets across the country. LeBron lovers, Chris Paul lovers, detractors, no dog in the fight. I mean, first of all, if you just tuned in, Ingram should be on ice for 10 to 15 games minimum. That's dangerous. That's unacceptable. Kiki Vandeweghe swinging a miss.
He got a gift.
He got a gift, and he said as much. So we'll get some calls on this, 855-212-4227. Also, the Cowboys deal, a first rounder for Amari Cooper. Got a lot to get to. This is just one of the many big stories of the day. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news, quick way to save money. What's the GEICO? Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206, at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. You know, you mentioned, oh, by the way, Doug Marrone just spoke, and he said he spoke to both of his quarterbacks, Bortles and Kessler, and that he's going back to Blake Bortles. So that just went down.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
I mean, Cody, I agree. He played good in the preseason. It's the preseason. He is what he is.
Mm-hmm.
But so is Blake.
That's true. So
what do you do?
And I could actually make the logic that because we've seen more of Blake, it's safer to deduce who he really is.
Yeah.
At least with Kessler, there's like an element of unknown, which could be a good thing.
Well, I wonder why they haven't. We can get to this later. Maybe people want to opine. We got calls on NBA, but why not? Why not trade for something? Even if it's not for this year.
I mean, who else would you trade for besides Eli
Teddy?
Manning? Who?
Teddy.
You know what? They missed the boat on Teddy Bridgewater. That's a good call.
We said that before the season.
That's a good call.
You definitely did before the season.
I almost forgot about
you wanted assets for the Jets.
I did. Right? I did. I almost forgot about that. Yeah, Teddy was the Saints swooped him up, but yet they got this other guy, Hill, who's going to wind up playing quarterback when Drew Brees is gone.
Jacksonville's in a rough spot right now.
They are in a rough spot, dude. You know, one thing that you asked me before we get to these calls, Teak, you asked me about the personality of the Lakers and who are they reflecting, who are they mirroring right now? Is it LeBron? Is it Walton? Is it just a combination of everybody, a hodgepodge? I don't know the answer to that, to answer you directly, but I do know this, you know, and I've always said this, like, with athletes or even like radio personalities or things where energy and passion and presence are required.
Mm-hmm.
I would much rather, and I know you agree with this, have somebody that I need to dial down a little bit than I need to jack up.
I agree. You can't get somebody to go to a height that they've never been or don't hang out at regularly.
Correct.
They're never going to get.
Maybe they'll get there for a second. Yeah,
but
you're correct.
They'll come back down.
So at least
I hear you.
I can harness the young buck. And again, I'm not absolving him. He should be on ice 10, 12, 15 games. Again, they missed it. Unacceptable to throw a blind punch in a crowd. That's just, you can't do it.
No.
But I do think that Ingram sounds measured today. He sounds like he knows he got a break, and he'll probably correct this. And listen, LeBron's going to counsel him behind closed doors, too.
Yeah.
You know, you would think.
And he is a young man.
He's a really young man, for sure.
Yeah.
21. Okay. He's 21.
Yeah.
Let's get, how about Cap is in L.A.? Let's get the phone started. Cap is on Tiki and Tierney. Cap, what's up, buddy?
They snake.
Cap.
I only got that kind of money to pay that dude, man.
Cap, go ahead, buddy. Let's go.
Cap's gone.
Cap, I don't want to hang up on it because you're a good caller and you're a Laker fan, but if you're not ready to roll, you're not ready to roll. You ready to roll? Cap is not ready to roll. How about Adam in Lansing, Michigan? Interesting spot, a couple of miles east of where you are now over the weekend. Adam, what's going on? How are you today?
Hey, how's it going, Tiki and Tierney?
We're good, man.
You guys all the time. Love your show.
Nice.
First-time caller, though.
Appreciate you, man.
Awesome. Thanks, Adam.
Want to get to the Lakers and Houston. I think Ingram, I think his punishment was sufficient. You know, it's not like he's doing this almost every game or multiple times.
Yeah, no history. No history. You're right.
I think he got suspended for what, four games for throwing the punch?
Yep. Yep.
That's perfect. Now, the guy that spit on him, I can't remember his name for the love of God.
Rondo.
Yeah, Rajon Rondo.
But the guy that spit on him, I think he got a very weak punishment.
So do I.
He got a slap on the wrist.
So do I.
You don't do that. Spitting on somebody is, that's a fighting term. He's lucky he didn't
Adam, it's the most vile thing that you could do to another human being besides
yeah,
urinating on them, yeah, or worse. Yeah. There's nothing else that, yeah, you could possibly do, yeah,
and
worse.
And Adam, let's not forget, he not only spit on him, but then he threw the punch.
Yeah.
I mean, and connected. That was probably the only one that really connected. Luckily, Chris Paul was backing away, so he just got a little bit of the contact of that, mm-hmm, punch. But I mean, he spit on him and then he punched him.
I know.
Like a full, like, serious punch. It wasn't like I'm just getting my hand.
He was a boxer when he was a kid.
Yeah.
Rondo was.
Yeah, I know. So it wasn't like I'm just putting my hand on you because you put your finger in my face. Mm-hmm. He threw a punch.
Oh, he was ready. Yeah. He was ready. You know, I wonder, it's kind of a rhetorical question because I know the answer is yes. Let's just say, you know, I used the Tom Jonovich term and that example with Kermit Washington years back earlier in the show. And let's just say if it was a little short of that, where Tom Jonovich really could have died, if you've ever read John Feinstein's book, The Punch, he was close to death.
Yeah.
But let's say it dented his nasal cavity. And let's say that Chris Paul had to miss 2 months of the season. Is Brandon Ingram still going to get suspended 4 games? Mm. Well, the answer is no.
Well, I mean,
so my follow up would
but
be.
But it was Rondo that threw the punch. So then why would.
I'm saying when Ingram came in and threw that punch.
Oh, you mean if Ingram had connected?
When Ingram ran into the scrum.
I hear you.
And just cavalierly threw a punch.
Yes.
And he connected with his nose and he shattered his orbital bone or his nasal cavity or he hit him in the temple, God forbid, whatever it was. And he's out 2 months. Is he suspended for 4 games? Mm. Of course he's not. The answer is no.
Yeah, you're right.
So why are we should not react to that as much as we should the intent. And the intent was to really hurt him.
Yes.
The intent was to injure him.
You're right.
And 4 games is not nearly enough.
You're right.
Terrible job.
You know, it's funny because I asked that question about who's directing the emotion of this Lakers team. And it should be LeBron. Everywhere he's been, it's been LeBron.
You got to give him a couple weeks to at least
hear you.
Plant some seeds, man.
But as I just keep re-seeing this footage of Rondo and then Brandon Ingram, it's like they're taking Rondo's personality in a sense, which is just passive aggressiveness, mm-hmm, right? I'm not going to actually fight you. I'm just going to provoke you so that you do something to me and then gives me license to come back at you. It's a weird dynamic that Rajon Rondo has on this team. And I don't think that has anything to do with Brandon Ingram's personality, but the more you look at it, right, Brandon Ingram comes out of nowhere throwing a punch because Rajon Rondo threw a punch.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
Ingram pushed Harden.
I know, but
on the play, but that
was
started everything.
But that was nothing.
Well, I don't know if pointing at a ref. I mean, I got to tell you, you know.
And he was aggressive with the ref, too, by the way.
Say.
You're right.
Reason Kiki's got to tack on 4, 5, 6 games minimally.
You're right.
If the referees don't feel safe, and just look at Brandon Ingram's eyes for a moment, mm-hmm, when he's you know, going, I forget the ref's name, whatever it is. You can't allow that.
No.
That's, in essence, a license for others to do whatever they want.
You're right. You're right.
I really can't believe Kiki Vandeweghe's been around a long time, and he butchered this. There's no other way to describe it. Now, I don't know if there's precedent. I'll do a little digging. But I was going to say, like, for the NBA to levy a suspension and then upon further consideration to tack on more games after the fact, I don't know if there's precedent for that. But this might be the time to establish precedents,
yeah. Yeah.
And tack on 10 more today.
Yeah.
Say, you know what? We honestly messed up.
But I can't think
of
the last time there
was too soft.
When was the last time there was a fight like this? A punches thrown fight like this in the NBA? It's been a
The Thunder. Let me see. Hold on. The Thunder and the Warriors. Draymond Green threw a kick. A couple of kicks. Steven Adams. The Warriors and the Thunder had a couple of moments. Full thrown punches.
I don't know if we've seen it in a while.
I don't know if they were real, like, punches as much as they were just kind of grabbing and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, and I only ask because what's
it's been a while to answer your question.
What was the suspension protocol then?
Yeah.
Like, what did those guys get?
Because
that could shape why Kiki Vandeweghe only gives 4 games and then 3 games to Rondo and CP3.
Yeah, usually you do look at what, you know.
Yeah, what transpired before.
Sure, sure. But they did. They messed this one up. Wow. 855-212-4227. Get some more calls. You want to inbounds, out of bounds coming up after that?
Yeah. Oh, but this is Samter just reminded me.
Yes,
but this was different. This was internal. This was like teammate crime. Bobby Portis got
with
8 games for punching his teammate.
That's right.
But that was it. It wasn't even a game. That was a Mirotić.
It was in practice. Definitely in practice.
So was that a league or was that the team? That's the question.
That was the league, and he, like what PT was saying, facial fracture. So sometimes the result leads to the larger penalty.
Maybe that's it.
But to Tiki's question, I would think that, lack of a better word, jurisdiction would be in the hands of the Bulls and not so much the league to intervene at a practice. But I think you're right. I think the league did levy the suspension.
Mm-hmm.
But you would think protocol would be, hey, this is our team. This is our house. We'll police it.
Yeah.
And, you know, internal scrap, whatever. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Got inbounds, out of bounds. Let's get the update. Zarwin Zook is right here. Here he is. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Time now for Doing More, brought to you by the Home Depot, the next generation of home improvement. Everything you need to do Project Smarter. It's the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. And we take a look at somebody who's doing a whole lot for his team. Patrick Mahomes, Patty Nice. Not Matty Ice, Patty Nice. Doing his thing. I mean, this kid's just unreal.
That's 360, actually.
Do you like that? Patty Nice?
That's a good one, dude.
Patty Nice? All right.
Patty Nice.
358 yards, 4 touchdowns, 45 yards on the ground for good measure. And the Chiefs just blow out the Bengals there. And that's, you know, you and I touched on this at the outset when we referenced the game. You know, we always react to the offense. But, again, not that the Bengals are the Chiefs offensively, but for the Kansas City defense, which has been much maligned, and rightfully so.
You're right.
10 points, hell of a job.
Yeah, they've been sitting in the basement for the majority of the season. I mean, the worst defense in the National Football League statistically. And they only give up 10 points to a top five offense in the National Football. That's awesome.
I bet.
All right, good job for them. Maybe Patrick Peterson could be help on the way since he's now asking for a trade. Maybe Gerion Conley, who's also the Raiders, he's also on the trade block, so to speak.
The Raiders aren't done.
No, of course
they're not.
Raiders
got 3 first-round picks,
dude,
right now for 2019.
We asked JLC on Friday, tell me this is true or not true, about Derek Carr potentially being traded to the New York Giants or somewhere else. Nothing is off the table, I think, in Oakland right now.
Agreed.
He truly wants to strip this down and remake it in his own image. That's the only thing you can think of.
And I got to tell you, the Max stuff, like independent of these other moves, seemed idiotic. Mm-hmm. But now you start to see things come to fruition here.
You're right.
3 first-round picks in 2019 and a lot of money, cap space. Now that we're seeing moves 2 and 3, it's making more sense.
Of course it is.
It's making more sense.
And especially knowing, the Raiders could not have known coming into the season that the Chiefs were going to be this dominant. Like, nobody could have said, hey, Pat Mahomes is going to take over for Alex Smith, and they're going to be not 2 or 3 or 5 times better. They're going to be 20 times better than they ever were under Alex Smith. Nobody could have predicted that. But now that that's happened, maybe John Gruden knew that. We're not going to win the division, right? We're going to struggle to make the postseason because we're not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just strip it down. Mm. I mean, if that's the case, we might be saying John Gruden's a genius in 2 years.
Let's see. Now you got to just pick the right guys.
That's the hard
on draft day.
And that's why he wants to get rid of Reggie McKenzie, because he doesn't trust him.
He doesn't trust him. Can I tell you real fast? Yesterday was the worst. You know how Scott Van Pelt does a segment, Bad Beats?
Yeah.
Yesterday was the worst bad beat sequence I've had in a long time. Back to back. Bad beat back to back for BT.
You're not good.
The Saints game. As much as Breeze was great, and the plan by Sean Payton was money, and you're right. We talked about this earlier a little bit.
Yeah.
Too windy. They said, we're not going to play how we always play. Nope. Let's go after it and get them on the ground a little bit. It was 17-7 Ravens, right? With a minute to go in the third quarter, the Saints have the ball on 3rd and 9 at their own 13. Drew Breeze is flushed out of the pocket. He connects with Thomas on a first down. Then they score a touchdown. If they punt there, the Ravens get the ball probably at their own 40, minimally, and then they ice the game.
You're right.
That's one bad beat. I had the Ravens minus 2.5. The other bad beat was the Redskins-Dallas Cowboys over. if that clown hits the field goal or the dopey penalty's not called instead of doinking off the side of the upright.
I don't think the penalty had. I don't think it had anything to do with the missed kick.
It was of course it did. 5 yards closer, it's going to go right through. They actually documented that. It's going to go in.
True, but
which would have made it 20-20.
Yes.
The over-under was 41.5.
Somebody's got to score unless it ends in a tie.
I still could have theoretically lost if they go 10 minutes without a point, but somebody's going to get a field goal in that situation.
Yeah.
I would have won.
You're right.
Oh, that was a tough sequence.
Two bad beats. God, bad beats.
Somebody tweet me if anybody else had that dastardly double dip of bad beats.
The other bad beat, though, was just an unexplainable beat down of Purdue over Ohio State. I mean, seriously, what the hell was that?
Hey, you know what that was? Forget about the Buckeyes. Nice job, Purdue.
Oh, great job, Purdue.
Nice. That place was on fire. The fans were great. West Lafayette.
It was convincing.
Yeah, I misread that one.
Yeah, me too.
I misread. You had the over.
I had the over because I knew they both could score, but I thought that Ohio State would win 55-48 or something. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Ohio State's
vulnerable,
maybe,
man.
Maybe could be an out of bounds. Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
By the way, I only got that over by a point. It was 68.
I know. 68. It was 69. Oh, I check. You had a 4-2 week, by the way. Nicely done. I was 3-3. Whatever. Tiki got a game on me. We'll figure it out a little bit later. But nice job coming in and winning 4 out of 6. Maybe that gets you going. Nicely
I hope
done
so.
There, Teak. I don't.
I have a new philosophy.
I think it's just an anomaly.
Yeah, maybe.
Nah, I hope it is because I want to beat you. But nice job, 4 out of 6. So yesterday, the game in London, that this was crazy. The Titans trailed the Chargers by 7. 31 ticks to go before Mariota threw a touchdown pass to cut it to just 1 point. Rather than go for the tying extra point, which seemed pretty basic, head coach Mike Vrabel elected to go for 2 and the win. But Mariota's pass fell incomplete to drop the Titans to 3-4. Vrabel did not regret the decision post-game. Here he is.
We made a decision that we're going to be aggressive, and early in the drive, when that drive started, I thought in my mind that if we scored, when we scored, there was less than 40 seconds, we were going to go for 2. We're going to win the game. And if there was, you know, if it was a minute and 30, we're going to, you know, kick the extra point and go play defense. So Marcus was, you know, doing everything we need him to do and keeping plays alive. And so not going to second guess the call. Just didn't work out.
All right, so the rookie coach with a bit of a confusing explanation. So, Vrabel's decision to go for the 2 was inbounds or out of bounds, Teak?
I'm confused by what
he
said.
Just said, right?
If there was more than a minute.
It should be inverted, right? I think I know what you're thinking.
Yeah, we're gonna have to listen to that again.
It's so weird.
We'll have to listen to that again after we do inbounds out of bounds, because that was odd. Out of bounds, BT. Look, they're not playing good football. We talk about it. Marcus Mariota hasn't been playing great, but they've put themselves in position to compete in the division. Mm-hmm. The Texans are ahead of them by a game now, 4-3 on the season. They're 3-4. So yeah, I mean, they're playing bad, but you got to try to win instead of risky win. This was out of bounds to me, BT, because you could have won this game, especially the way the momentum had shifted. The Chargers are superiorly better, but you had held them in check for a lot of this game. Play great defense, get a win in overtime if you have to.
This was a revealing move on a lot of levels. First and foremost, it was dopey. I mean, it's just no excuse. It was dumb. And there's a big difference between being aggressive and being reckless. And I believe that Vrabel, again, I think he's got a nice future in front of him as a head coach. But as a rookie head coach, it was the latter. He was clearly reckless. Now, your point about the division being so jumbled, that's a key element here. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if they're in the Rams division and the Rams are going to go 15-1 and you just say, hey, we need wins, you know. Okay, I can even listen to that for a little bit, maybe a little deeper into the season, but at least that's his logic, which would make a little bit of sense here. I think what it's also saying is he doesn't really trust his quarterback to go down there and put some points on the board with overtime when they get to that situation, and his defense maybe to stop. So I think it's revealing on a lot of levels, but at the bare basic evaluation, it was a tremendously sloppy call. Totally agree. Out of bounds. Way out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, take the defending Super Bowl champ Eagles, now 3-4 on the season. They blow a – this game was great. 17-point fourth quarter lead, but head coach Doug Peterson, he's remaining positive.
Quite frankly, and I told him, I says, you know, we have to learn from these. These are games that galvanize football teams, and this is going to do that. This is going to bring us even closer together. Basically told him that, hey – pressure's off of us. Nobody on the outside world has given us a chance to do much of anything, and pressure's off, so we can go play, have fun, and just relax.
All right, so as we know, a year ago, the Eagles embraced the underdog mantra. Remember all the dog masks out there in Minnesota? With all the fans, it was crazy. And a route to their first Super Bowl win, even they were fired up. Is it actually good for the Eagles that they are struggling early in the season? Those who say that it is, would we agree with that?
Out of bounds, BT, because regardless of the fact that they're 3-4, they've got a bunch of injuries on the offensive side. They had some departures. Vinnie Curry, Bo Allen on the defensive line, even though it doesn't, it just affects their depth a little bit and their effectiveness as games go on and you get to rotate guys out of in and out. People are still going to look at the Philadelphia Eagles as a defending national or world champion. So you're going to get the best effort, even if their record is sub 500 right now. People are coming after them because they still have those Super Bowl rings.
Yeah, but this is nothing new. I mean, you know, you win the Super Bowl, people are going to circle the game on the calendar.
And I agree.
So it's, you know, I mean, it's, is it good that they're struggling early in the season? Here's what I would say. I would almost rather them, rather than be 6-1 and kind of feeling themselves, hey, maybe we'll go back to back, get a little lazy. You know, not that they would all get lazy, but maybe a little carefree in their approach. You know, hey, we won the Super Bowl last year. We're really good again this year. A little confident, a little overconfident. This creates an energy that can't be avoided. Now, there's no guarantee that they can rectify this. The Redskins are pretty tough. We'll see what happens with the Cowboys, with Cooper, even though we don't think the trade is smart. But he should help the offense a little bit. It's just not worth the first rounder, which was our critique. As long as they don't drown, which I don't think they will, this could actually be a good thing for their character. And it's not a bad thing to enter the playoffs playing well rather than playing well early, going through a dry spot and try to pick it back up as the season ends. So I'm going to say inbounds, but I'm going to say inbounds with a little bit of concern because I don't know if they're going to be able to get their mojo back. There's something off with the Eagles right now.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teague. The Dodgers finish off the Brewers. Oh, sorry, Brewers fans. I was rooting for you. No disrespect, Dodger fans. Great game 7 of the NLCS on Saturday. They advance to their second straight World Series. Now, the Dodgers, of course, they lose to the Astros last year 7 games. They're going to face the Red Sox now. Owners of baseball's best record, so the Red Sox finish the job, at least thus far. The Sox enter as early favorites, minus 135, while the Dodgers are plus 115 to win it all. Pretty much kind of as close to a coin flip as you can get. There's nothing really prohibitive about either one of those choices there from a betting point of view. In or out, the Dodgers will lose their second straight World Series.
Well, first of all, I did out of bounds here simply because I don't want to make a prediction yet on whether or not I think the Dodgers are going to win or lose.
Keep them guessing until tomorrow?
Keep them guessing until tomorrow.
Yeah. But I'll say the same thing. We'll skip it.
The reality is both these teams are pretty damn good. And we were talking about this off air. Yasiel Puig is having a heck of a postseason, man.
Yes, he's backed up his
antics. He's like annoying as hell.
He likes to party.
He's full of antics. He likes to party.
Yeah.
If you're outside, you hate him. If you're in that locker room, they all love him.
They do.
Even the guys who came in after, the early middle of the season. So I'm going to hold off on this one. So just out of bounds.
Move on.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, previously unbeaten Ohio State, and we mentioned this before, they were crushed, just rolled by Purdue this weekend. 49-20, that choo-choo train was cranking out a lot of noise over the weekend at West Lafayette. So they dropped from number 2 all the way down to 11. And rightfully so. They were abused. After the game, Urban Meyer didn't hold back in his frustration.
I was surprised, very surprised. We had a good week of work. The glaring shortcomings we have, like you said, were exposed. And the number one off the top of my head is our red zone offense. You know, you go down there 3 times, 2 field goals, 1 missed field goal, and that's 4 points. We've never had this issue, so we're going to get a real thorough evaluation of that and the big plays on defense.
All right, Teague, there you go, Coach Meyer. So despite the loss, Ohio State could still make the college football playoff.
I'm going to say out of bounds, BT. There's so much ground for them to make up. Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame. Let's just assume that they go undefeated. And it feels like those three teams can finish the season that way. There's really one spot left. Now, who's it going to be? They got to beat Michigan. Mm-hmm. But Michigan's got to be in a position inside the top 5 or top 4.
Michigan can't lose before that game.
Agreed. Michigan can't lose before that game. Oklahoma, who is above them as well, if they went out and then play in their Big 12 championship against the second best team in the Big 12 as opposed to the winner of a conference or, you know, a different side of it, they could probably jump up if they go all the way through. So it will depend on where the college football playoff rankings put them first, but I'm going to say out of bounds.
I'm going to say inbounds, but it's only based on the possible machinations of what's in front of them and not based on how I view them. I know they're not special.
They have the opportunity to get there, but you don't actually believe that they can get there.
Correct.
Yeah, I hear you.
Correct.
That makes
sense. Thank you for that quick truncated that nicely for me.
Yes, you're welcome.
You summed it up nicely. Well done. Coming up, Harbaugh, D'Antonio, more calls, the fight, the trade with Dallas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.